Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trusting His might, walking His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Praying on His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heaven's proclaim,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, your Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity. Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord. Jesus has won. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 57, verses 7 and 9. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. Our Father of grace and mercy, we thank you that you have invited us to the throne of grace to speak and pray in Jesus' name. We have come to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is worthy to receive all glory and honor and power. Your graciousness is truly amazing that you have saved such as we and to show your love for us by sending the Lord Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. Our praise and thanks shall never cease for such a great salvation. We love you, our great God and Savior. We pray, Father, for Pastor and Mrs. Otero, as Pastor is the speaker this weekend at a large Christian conference for Spanish speakers. May you bless him and guide him through his teaching. And we pray that many may come to know you through his exposition of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for safety in Pastor's and Mrs. Otero's traveling. As always, we look forward to our brother Ramil Yalde's teaching and ask that you would continue to bless him in every way. We thank you for your gifting him so that he may stand in the pulpit in pastor's absence. Father, you know all things and the needs of our congregation and also those believers beyond these walls who share in this ministry and for whom we have been praying. We have on our prayer list many folks with many varying needs, and those that need healing in body and spirit according to your will. And we take comfort in the knowledge that you are aware of those needs even before we draw attention to them. We especially want to thank you for Ann Pareto's quick recovery from back surgery and the resulting reduction of back pain. Also, thank you for the good recovery of Dr. McCormick from a heart attack. We are gratified to see him here with us today. We pray for our missionaries that they would be effective by the power of the Holy Spirit in their bringing the gospel to unbelievers in various parts of the world, and we thank you that we can participate in their ministries through prayer and financial report that is support. For Daniel Lacey, we pray, of Motorsports Ministries, wherever Trans Am auto races are held. For Giovanni Avendano in Guatemala, Fred and Carol Lewis in Russian Siberia, and Carl and Ruth Knott in Sevilla, Spain, the David Rhodes family in Papua New Guinea, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, and Marta and George Peretti in Argentina, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and the South Valley Pregnancy Center in Gilroy. We thank you, Father, for raising up such ministries and making it possible for us to share in their support. We ask that you would use Bethel Church's radio and internet broadcasts and tape and CD teaching ministries to bring your word to many, also bringing unbelievers to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to share in your work by giving back to you a portion of what you have given us. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Job. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 332. We will be reading Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that we have your word in written form that is absolutely truthful, through which we can know you and the Lord Jesus Christ by the illumination of the Spirit. We thank you for your mercy that we can now see the unfolding of your sovereign plan over all, and with confidence as believers, we can see we have eternal life guaranteed by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this marvelous revelation. We pray now for your servant, our teacher, Ramil Yalde, as he comes to give us further insights into the scripture. We bless our good brother and his teaching. We pray that you would bless him and give us understanding so that we will gain greater appreciation for your mighty works. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and CD and audio tape also, and especially for those who are not believers in the Lord Jesus, that they might believe the good news and pass from spiritual death to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, brother, for reading from the Word of God. Once again, it's an honor for me to stand here before you to share the gospel of our living Lord Jesus Christ. I know that as the pastor is preaching this week, God will be with him. How do I know that? It's because he preaches from the Word of God. And whenever you preach the Word of God, it does not return empty. It will accomplish the purpose that God has for that particular time. So I know God will be glorified. And may it be that today we will be glorified using the Word of God as our guide. Shall we bow our heads for just 1 minute? Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. May it be that you will be glorified. Take me out of the picture so people are faced with thy word. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Job, as our brother had read, Job chapter 14. I just don't know where to begin today. I have so much to say. Maybe I should go from Genesis and end up in Revelation. Order some food. But in order for us to get an understanding of what we just read, I'd like to begin in Job chapter 1. So put your bookmarks in Job chapter 14. Serious men ask serious questions. Serious men don't waste their time and energy upon foolish things of the world. They take serious things very seriously, and they ask very serious questions. God's servant Job is an example before us. If God hasn't called you today to take serious things seriously, I promise you, He has a way of seeing to it that you do. Job learned by the things he experienced to look upon life, to look upon death, to look upon eternity with a sober mind and a sober heart. There are some who question whether or not Job was a saved man, because when they read the book of Job, they see his friends accusing him of different things, and Job therefore justifying himself before them. But whenever Job spoke of his righteousness, whenever Job spoke about his uprightness, whenever Job justified himself, he was not speaking with reference to God, but with reference to the accusation of his so-called friends. Let me give you an example. If our brother Anthony here comes and says, "This preacher is a thief," and he accuses me of that, if I decide to do so, I may get up and say that that's not so, and this is the reason why, and this is where I was, and I may decide to justify myself and my actions before the congregations. This is exactly what Job does, declaring himself right contrary to the opinions of his friends. But when Job spoke of himself in relationship to God, it was totally another thing. When he spoke to God about what he is, when he spoke to God about himself, he spoke with honesty. He spoke with plain confession of his sin. Let me show you. Let's go to Job chapter 9 instead of 1. Let's go to 9. Job 9 verse 20. If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. That means crooked. That means wrong. This is very important. If we want to understand the message of Job, if we want to understand the preaching of God in the book of Job, we do not need to argue who wrote the book, Moses or Job. That doesn't matter. You know who wrote it? God wrote it. Let's get over that. What we need to do is to understand who Job was and what kind of a man he was. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go back to Job chapter 1 now. If I were to ask you, what does and how is Brother Pete in front of your eyes? People may come and say, Peter is a good man. Peter is a nice boy. He is a good soccer player. He does this well. He does that well. You know, they may give you a lot of opinion about this young man. But wouldn't it be wonderful when you ask God what he thought of us? How would he reply? I want to show you how he replied to Brother Job. What God thought of Job, not what man thought of him. Let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 8. And Lord said unto Satan, we're reading from Job 1, verse 8. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth, turns away, is without, hates evil. In 2:3 we read that there is none like him in the earth. Isn't it wonderful when God gives a description of one? What did he say? A servant. None like him in the earth. perfect, upright, one that fears God. And you know what? When you fear God, you hate evil. There's nothing in between. A lot of people are under this confusion that I could fear God. I could fear God, but you know what? I don't really hate evil. I want to play a little bit, you know? It's just not fun hating evil all the time, you know? A lot of young kids are under this delusion. You see, when you fear God, you are without evil. You can't have both. And this is what God speaks of his servant Job. This man Job, being a man of faith, being a man who believed God, and let me remind you, this book is one of the earliest books written in the Bible. And there's one thread that we see throughout the book. And what is the thread? That the earliest record in the scriptures declares plainly that a man of faith is a man who endures trials while he lives in this world. People of Bethel, don't think that because we are believers, we will not endure trials. That is wrong. You will see from the life of Job, the earliest record in the Bible, a man of faith, an upright, perfect, a man that fears God and escheweth, hates, is without evil, will have to go through trials and tribulations. We'll have to endure. As you read the chapters 1 and 2, you will see just the beginning of his trials. Just the beginning. In one occasion, in one day. Oh, what a day it must have been. In one day, try to imagine one thing with me. Richest man in all the land. Richest man in all the land. The most influential man. The most powerful man. The most intellectual man. The most highly respected, regarded man. The most perfect man. In one day, God destroys everything he's got. Takes all his 10 children. Takes all his cattle. Takes all his wealth. Takes everything he owns. Everything. In one day. But he ain't done. In next day, God sends Satan after him again. Let's go with me to Job chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Next day, God sends Satan after him again. And he took his health. Look at it. Verse 7 and 8, Job 2. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him potsherds to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. He was covered with pain. It wasn't just one little pimple here that he would pop. It was every part of his body was covered with boils and sores. And how did he fix it? Did he take penicillin? Did he go to Dr. McCormick and say, Doctor, I have a little this on my face. What kind of cream would you prescribe? I want to go to the library or I want to go to the bookstore, research and put it on. No. He took something and he scraped all of it because he was in so much pain. Sometimes when you're in pain, you got to scrape. Sometimes when you're struggling with sin, you got to take that sword of the scripture and you have to cut it out. You have to separate yourself with sin. Nobody respected him anymore. His servant says, wow, look at my boss. Look how he was. Look what he is now. He must have done something bad. Nobody respected him anymore. What did his wife say to him? Remember? Curse God and die. You why do you keep your integrity? Curse God and die. His wife. His beloved wife. And then his friends came. We all got such friends, don't we? Oh, his friends came. They came and they looked at Job. And they didn't even recognize their friend. Let me show you. You're in chapter 2. Let's go to verse 12. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, that's his friends, and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one of his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. Verse 13, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Can you imagine that? They saw their friends. They got together, and they couldn't even recognize him. They sat together for not seven minutes. Sometimes you have a problem, you know, our kids don't want to even listen for 2 minutes. For 7 days and seven nights, they sat in ashes and they prayed. Look what has happened to our friend Job. They couldn't even recognize him. Try to imagine that. And one after another, they began to tell him why he was in the shape he is in. We got those friends, don't we? We got those friends. One after another, they came and they said, Job, what's wrong? What did you do? I knew I couldn't trust you. Oh, that day when I saw you doing that, I knew that something's going on. What's going on in the secret of your life? Come on, Job, sit down with us. Repent. What have you done, Job? What have you done? And then they began to accuse him. At time, Job showed sign of weakness. Who wouldn't? I think if you were to ask Job now, he would have said those three were his biggest trials and tribulations. The way they scorned him and the way they asked those questions. But what did Job do? Did Job charge God with folly? No. Let me show you in chapter 13. Let's go to Job 13, verse 15. Job 13, 15. Even when he was at his lowest times, he worshiped God and maintained his integrity. Let's read verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Look at this faith. Though he slay me, but I will still trust in him. Can you get a hold of that? Let's go to Job 19. Show you another verse. Look at the faith of this man. Job 19, verse 25 through 27. Job 19, 25 through 27. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin's worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What faith! What faith! This man Job lived in the earliest of times, believed clearly in the redemption by the blood of Christ. He believed that he was coming again. He believed that he will raise him up from the dead and he will see him face to face. The earliest book in the Bible. Look at faith. You don't need doctrines, ABC. You need to read the Bible. Job had faith. Job had faith. What faith? And in the midst of this heavy, heavy trials, Job acknowledges God's total sovereignty and humbles himself. Let's go back to chapter 1. Now that's faith. And that's what Job's got. Look what he said in verse 21. Job 1:21. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you get a hold of that one? He said to his friends, go back to Job 19. I'm gonna make you a professor of Job by the time we're done here. Job 19. Go back to Job 19, verse 21. He said to his friends, Job 19, 21, "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of the God hath touched me." Folks would look at Job and ask, why does bad things happen to good people? Wrong question. Wrong question. Why does good things happen to the bad people? That's the question you got to ask. You know what I'm saying? Job understood it all. Job got it. What happened to me? Because God touched me. The hand of the Lord hath touched me. And at the end, God blesses him, doesn't he? He honors him. He gives him twice as many sons and daughters. I don't know about that. You know, sometimes he gives him twice as many cattle as he had. He gives him twice as much wealth as he had. He gives him twice as much respect as he had. And the Lord told his friends. And Lord wagons this, circles the wagons, right? And he tells his friends. Look what he, this is beautiful. If you go to Job 42, look what he tells his friends. Those that accused him. Job, come on, Job. Tell me what you've done. Come on, Job. What is it that you've done in the secret of your heart? Look what God tells his friends in Job 42, verse 7 and 8. And it was so, in verse 7 of Job 42, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And, look at this, my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept." Look at that. Would you ever pray to your friends like that? Someone who scorned you. Someone who came and says, "I'm your friend, buddy, buddy." But for weeks and months, he scorned you. They came and they accused you. You did this, you did that, you didn't do that, you didn't do that. Would you sit now and pray for them? Because God says, you know what? I hear my righteous servant, Job. Go to him. He will pray for you. Wow, what faith. What faith. I just can't get over it. I just cannot get over it. Now, in chapter 14. Now, in chapter 14. Job has been answering the accusation of his friend Zophar. And the way he answers the accusations is by raising some questions. Now, I did a little homework on my own. I went and asked people, if you could ask only one question, what would it be? What is the most important question in your life? You've been around the block for 20, 30, 50, 90, some 120 years. What is the most important question in your life that you want to ask? The youngsters sort of say, well, I want to know what kind of car I'm going to get. The girls want to know, what kind of husband would I marry? The mothers want to know if my kids are going to be believers, and they want to know what kind of grandsons they're going to get. And I'm wondering, did you hear what I said? What is the most important thing in your life? What is the question you would ask God face to face? The most important one. One wants to know if he's going to ever make it to be the CEO of a company. One wants to know how much money he would have in the bank to make sure that he doesn't have to work, his kids don't have to work, and their kids don't have to work. I said, okay. And look at Job now. What kind of questions do you figure he would ask? Would he ask, "Lord, how long? Why me? Come on, Lord, be fair. Why me? You know, upright, honest, man of faith. There is none like me on the earth. Why me, Lord? How long? How many times? You took my family, you took my health, what else? How long?" What do you think he would ask? if you were in his shoes. And I know people, I know people that come very, not close, but they come in the line of Job. They've been under trials, tribulations all their life, from one surgery to another, from one heartache to another, from one disaster to another. I mean, they just, as if God is grinding them one after another, they just don't let go. What would he say? What would he ask? So let's begin in Job 14, verse 1. The first question is actually in verse 3, but we'll get there in a minute. In verse 1 we read, man that is born of a woman is a few days. Aren't you thankful? Since the day of the flood, man's days on earth has continually diminished. You know a guy by the name of Methuselah? He lived how many years? 96? No? 196? No? 969 years old. Whew. 906. I'm almost 40. I'm less than 45 and I'm tired of it already. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of conflict. I'm tired of disobeying God. I'm tired of not understanding God. I am tired of it already. And I don't want to be on this earth as much as I want. I want to go be with God where there's no pain, there is no sorrow, there's none of this stuff. 969 years old. Whew. Can you believe? Can you believe having 700 grandsons back there? 900 grandsons and grandsons? I mean, can you believe? Wow! Thank God that he says in Psalm 90, what does he say? Thank God that the days of our years are 70 and if by reason of strength, 80. Thank God. And then in Job 14:1, we read, man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Full. You go to the gas station, you fill up your tank full. All the way to the top. Full of trouble. Man is born to trouble because he's born with a disease called sin. Sin and trouble go hand in hand. You got sin, you got trouble. Period. You got kids, you got trouble, for example. They go hand in hand. You can't leave a kid out in the street and say, God be with you and see you later. You got to take care of him. You got to change the diapers. You got to do a lot, you know, all the other stuff you got to do. Man that is born is full of trouble. The word trouble now, we could translate it in two ways. One is commotion. I want to show you this because it's very important. Let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 20. The word trouble can be translated commotion. The Bible says in verse 20 of Isaiah 57, But the wicked are like the troubled sea. Same word. When it cannot rest. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. We that are without God are like a sea, and we are troubled, and we cannot rest. We can't. There is no peace in us. God, the Prince of Peace, does not reside in my heart. I am like a sea, going back and forth. I am hitting waves, and I am confused. I don't know where I'm going, and it's one after another. There is no rest with the wicked. Restless. The more, and I'll tell you a secret, the more of this world you grab on, the more in trouble you'll be. The more restless you'll be. The more money you want, the more power you want, the more integrity of the world you want, where people will respect you, not God, you will have more trouble on your hands. More. You won't be restless. Another way of translating the word trouble is trembling. People are trembling. Do you know why people are afraid? They're afraid. They're scared of death. They're scared of meeting God face to face. They're scared of death and judgment of God. They're scared. That's why we're full of trouble. Verse 2 of Job 14. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. As flower comes from the earth, so does man. As the flower flourisheth for a while and looks beautiful. You know those flowers you give your wife and your girlfriends that end up in garbage after 3 days? Those. As those flowers flourisheth for a while and look beautiful, so does man. As the flower soon withers and dies, so does man. As a shadow that has no strength in it, as a shadow that has no authority in it, as a shadow that continueth based on the fact that there's a light hitting my hand and there's a shadow. This shadow has nothing, no power in it. That's what we are. God says it. Now here's the first question. I only have 7 minutes, but here's the first question. Job 14:3. With all of this said now, the last 25 minutes, all of this said, here's the first question. And dost thou open thy eyes upon such a one? Why do you love me, Lord? Me, a shadow. Me, a vapor. Me, a flower that only I'm cute for a couple of days and bam, in the garbage. Me, why do you look upon me, Lord? Why? Why? Let's go to Psalm 144. I'll show you a verse. In 144, verse 3 and 4. As you're opening this morning in our Bible class, we were already ready for this preaching. We were rallying up the scriptures, and if you're missing this morning Bible studies, you shouldn't. You should not. Full of sort of the power of God. Psalm 144, verses 3 to 4. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like a vanity. His days are as shadow that passeth away. Does God Almighty look upon you, Anthony? Indeed he does. He don't just look upon you, Daniel, to know you. He looks upon you to take care of you. He looks upon you to continually preserve you. He looks upon you to keep you in his midst of all of these trials and tribulations. He looks upon you when you are in adversity and heartache, when you're in pain. God Almighty is looking upon you. Take care of you. Second question, verse 3 again. Dost thou open thy eyes upon such a one? Question 2. And bringest me into judgment with thee? And I read that 25 times. And I said, what kind of a question is that? What is he asking for? And then I noticed, it doesn't say, bringest me into judgment before thee. You see the word with? He says, bringest me into judgment with thee. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus Christ has already been judged for my sake. I am going in there as a guest. Howdy. I'm here with you, Jesus. I already have been judged through you. Thank God. I am not sitting before you to be judged. I am going with you. Get a hold of that. Fasten your seatbelts because we've got ways to go. I'm telling you. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 27. Ezekiel 37, 27. The Bible says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Ezekiel 37, 27. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. And what? And they shall be my people. My people. He looks on us to give his dear son as a sacrifice for you. He looks on us continually from the beginning of time. He looks on us with His saving mercy and sends His Spirit to call out His own from the sin-cursed world we're in. He looks on us to love us, agape love. Love that endureth forever. Love that caused Him to get on the cross and die for our sins. Let me tell you something. You either are going to stand before God, washed in His blood and wearing the robe of His righteousness, or you're going to perish under the wrath of God. Which one do you want? Going there, you're gone. Guaranteed. You're either going to go there with the robe of His righteousness, clean with the blood, or you're going to have to face the wrath of God. Which one is it that you want? Now let's look at verse 4. Third question. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Job 14:4. Wow, what kind of a question is this, Job? I mean, you've just gone through tons of trials and tribulations. What are you asking? Why are you asking this stuff? Look at the depth of his questions. Has nothing to do with physical, all to do with spiritual, all to do with eternity, all to do with salvation, all to do with the grace and love of God. That's where his head is. Where is my head? Where is my thoughts? Where are my thinking? Let's go to Jeremiah 13. Similar question in Jeremiah 13, verse 23. I guess I'm going to go overboard for another 5-10 minutes. I apologize. Jeremiah 13, 23. Same question. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Jeremiah 13, 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. If a leopard could change its spot, therefore you can say that a man who is used to do evil can do good things in the sight of God. But there's a condition. If a leopard can change his spots, therefore a man who does and loves to do evil could decide to do good. If that happens, this will happen. If that can't happen, the other one will not ever happen. So what's the answer? What's the answer? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Who can make me clean, Lord? I am a sinner. I am dying on the wrath of you. I need to be saved. Who can make me clean, Lord? Well, the answer is in the Bible. Where is it? It's in the Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. I'll show you the answer. The answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. Our Redeemer and our Savior. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with man it is impossible. There is no need to look up the dictionary. With man, you cannot do it. It is impossible. But with God, that's another story. But with God, let's look at and see what it says. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are what? Possible. Do you believe that? Well, I know you believe it up here in the head. I want us to believe it in the heart. That's where it matters. A lot of people believe stuff in the head. Oh, we believe, like we were talking this morning, all the Muslims believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it's in the Quran. They know it. It's there, but it's here. It's not here. Do you believe that with all your heart? That with God all things are possible? Who can make a clean thing out of an unclean? Lord Jesus Christ can. He can. And I will just read the questions because of time, and we will maybe look upon him another time. So the next two questions are in Job chapter 14, verse 10 and 14. Job 14, verse 10 and 14. In 10, we have the fourth question. He talks about a tree. There is a hope for a tree. When you cut down the tree, you know, I used to cut down a tree in the backyard for my daddy. And I used to make a mess, but I used to cut it down, you know. I cut it down. And then next thing I know, 2 weeks later, the thing is back again. What did you do? I cut it. Well, it's back. Well, you know, it rained and the water. You got to go down to the root. You know, you just can't cut it. Just that's what he says. You cut a tree down, there's hope. But verse 10 says, but when man dieth, verse 10 of Job 14, and wasteth away, yea, man give up the ghost, and the question comes, where is he? Where is he? Well, the answer is simple. I'm just going to go to the answer. I'm not going to give you all the stuff. Do you remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man? The answer is simple. Lazarus in the hands of Abraham in heaven. Rich man in hell. Very simple. You understand that? Do you understand that? Yes. Because we know when a man dies, our soul, a believer's soul, is what? With God. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We know that. We know that. This answer is simple. Where is he? Well, if you're a believer, you're in heaven. And if you're not, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't want to even say it. I'm scared of it. It's hell. And verse 14, the last question of Job 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. He answers the question for us. Till my change, what? Come. He knows there's a change about to come. He knows that when he dies, Christ is coming again. And the dead in Christ will see the change that comes from God's appointed time. Not mine, not yours. God's appointed time. There's a change coming. Are you ready? When we die, we will see God face to face. There's a change coming. And verse 15, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou will have a desire to the work of thine hands. How can you be sure? Because God looks upon me. I know when he calls me, when I'm dead, he will resurrect my body. He will bring my soul, and I will be with him forever with a new body. I know that because Job knew it, because we have faith in the living God. I want to close with a poem I picked up by a Sovereign Grace preacher a long, long time ago. It says, when I have breathed my final breath and dropped this rope of flesh and death, when my appointed work is done and my allotted time is gone, don't stand around my grave and cry. I'll not be there. I did not die. My Savior came to call me home when I with him to heaven have gone. Now I'm free from sin and pain, and with the glorified I reign. Don't stand around my grave and cry. I am glorified. I did not die. Seated with Jesus on his throne, glorified by what he has done, I am a trophy of his grace, rejoiceth. I behold his face. Don't stand around my grave and cry. Rejoice with me. I did not die. My body lies beneath the clay until the resurrection day. In that day when Christ comes again, body and soul unite again. Don't stand around my grave and cry. Rejoice with me. I did not die. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, what questions, what powerful witness to us that we should be focused and looking on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. May it be that we, as we go through our trials and tribulations, will see you as our Savior, will bow down and understand and serve you to bring glory to thy name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, my prayer is that I could preach like this. Shall we stand for the closing prayer? Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.